views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational culture and leadership, helping you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. Today, I am really thrilled to have Jay Wilkinson with us, and he's going to be helping us learn more about how you can take your organizational culture and really transform it into a force for good in the world. So let me introduce Jay. He is the founder of Firespring, which is a marketing firm that works with companies and nonprofits that focus more on their why than their what. Firespring serves more than 9,000 clients in all 50 states and on six continents. And in 2014, they became Nebraska's first B Corporation, joining the likes of Tom's Shoes and Patagonia as a company that leverages business as a force for good. In 2016, Firespring was featured in Inc. magazine as one of the 50 best workplaces in America, and Jay's TEDx talk on company culture has received more than 1 million views. Today, Jay spends the majority of his time helping nonprofit organizations leverage their mission and deepen their impact. You also may see Jay on CNN or other cable networks, or read about his company Firespring in Forbes or in the Huffington Post. Welcome, Jay.
It is a pleasure to be here.
Oh, absolutely. Pleasure is mine. So one of the things, you know, I love about your company Firespring is that you've created this culture that really reflects its why, you know. So it'd be a great place to start to learn more about that. What is the why of Firespring, and how did that all come about?
Well, we have formally defined our purpose as a company, very specifically as you know, we exist to leverage our people, our products, and our profit as a force for good. And we do that through our Power of Three program, where we donate 3% of our products back to the nonprofit sector, nonprofits that need a leg up, 3% of our profit. We actually take 3% of our top line revenue and donate it to nonprofit organizations, mostly in our backyard here in Nebraska. And then 3% of our people, which is done by having every team member in our company, more than 200 of us, volunteer one full day a month to a nonprofit or a cause of their choice. So if you do the math on that, it's a little more than 3% of their time over the course of the year. So our purpose evolved substantially in the last 5 years when we realized that prior to that, I don't know, Claudette, that we had a stated purpose. It would have been maximize shareholder value or some lame.
Right.
And, you know, what employee just jumps out of bed in the morning and gets excited to go to work so they can maximize shareholder value? That's
absolutely right. Yeah. So you really, 5 years ago, something really changed.
It did.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Well, what was there a catalyst for it? What went on there?
There was a catalyst. When I was very young, 15 years old, I had an incredible gift given to me. I attended a workshop for an organization called Launch Leadership, where I had the seed planted into my brain of servant leadership. And I remember coming back home from this workshop, this 5-day workshop of other high school kids, just on fire to make a difference in my school and community. And I kind of laid down the framework of who I wanted to be and what I wanted to become, my personal mission statement. I made it add value and evolve. That's what I wanted to do with my life. Mm-hmm. I focused on that, and I was pretty decent at that for a long time. And as I kept growing in business, I remember always thinking that someday I'm going to save up enough money or amass enough wealth or whatever. Someday I was going to do something really incredible for my father, who is my role model and the person that I most admire in this world, just to give back to him. And so I was thinking, okay, I'll buy the land and build a park and name it after him, or a hospital wing or whatever. And then one day, this happened in 2013. I remember the date, you know, I remember the actual event. Mm-hmm. I sat down with him and I started to ask him questions because I wanted to dig in and really understand what he wanted his legacy to be. And he almost, you know, laughed me out of the room. You know, his legacy, what he wanted was for his kids and his grandkids, you know, to live out their lives with passion and to give back to other people and to be really good stewards of our world. And he cared nothing about having a hospital wing named after him or anything. So I realized that I'd always been building up to this someday. And I realized that I wasn't doing anything about it really substantial now, you know, do it now. And so I came back and sat at the table with my leadership team. We have a conference room we call our war room, where we have a weekly meeting. Mm-hmm. And I sat down in the war room with them, and they had the look in their eye, kind of like the deer in the headlights, because it was that same look they used to get when Jay comes back from a conference. Armed with all these ideas, things that I was going to, you know, implement. And I told them that I wanted to change everything. We needed to really dig in and understand our purpose. And we need to figure out a way that we can make impact on our community, on the world, on the things we care about today, and not be saving up for someday. Mm-hmm. And so the most substantial aspect of that was when it was that year that we started the process of pivoting our entire company to become a B Corporation. And we officially became a B Corporation on July 7th of 2014. And it's changed everything about how we look at the world and about what our place in the world is, and about how the people that come to work as part of our company feel about the impact they make, and the, you know, the desire they have to do something that's bigger than themselves, you know, more than just the tasks that they do as part of their job, that we're making impact that goes beyond whatever their daily tasks might be. And people want to be part of something that's bigger than themselves. And it transformed everything about our company. So it was that process of learning that my, I didn't need to be saving up for someday. Let's do it now in little ways every day, instead of trying to save up for one big way. And our entire company transformed over that year as we were working through that.
Wow. What a story. I mean, and so you mentioned that when you became through the process of becoming certified as a B Corporation in 2014 and everything else that you did, it changed your view of the world or your company's view of the world. What did it change to? I'm curious about that.
Well, again, I think the primary change for us is that we don't have to be waiting to do some big sweeping epic thing. We didn't have to be building up to a someday. We could be making everyday incremental impact, incremental change. And it was that mindset change that we had, just that it was immediate, about how everyone in the company can help each other. So we also transformed at that point in time. We went through another iteration of our company values. We went through a pretty unique process to not really choose our values, because I don't believe that that's how it works. So, you know, your values choose you. You don't choose your values. We already have them, and it's a matter of discovering them and how to pull them out so that we know what they are and how to build around it. So we went through a pretty interesting process of that every single team member in our company was involved in, of reestablishing what it is that we value, and then building in the framework around that about how to implement, you know, through this process of grounding and this, you know, gratitude and growth, and then integrating the values into the daily life of our business. So it was a pretty cool process.
And you guys have pretty cool values. You want to share those with us?
Well,
I've seen them on your website. Yeah.
Number one is to bring it every day, and all of these, you know, I could go really deep into all of these. And in fact, we have books of value stories that tell the story behind what these values mean. So rather than just put them into words, We put them into stories. So every quarter, we induct three new people into our Values Hall of Fame based on a story, something that they've done to live these values. So when we have a new employee come into our company, it's pretty simple. They can sit down and look through the stories, and they know exactly what it means to embody and live the values. But number one is to bring it every day in so many different ways as a team. You want to make sure that all, not just yourself, but all the people around you are bringing, you know, their whole selves to the tasks. Number two is have each other's back. And that extends beyond just our team. It extends to our clients, having our clients back, and to our vendors, the people that are part of our overall ecosystem. And then number three is give a shit. And it's stated that way very intentionally. I remember when we went through the process, as we were crafting the words that we use in our values, I resisted that. I'm almost embarrassed to admit it now that I resisted it, because we work so much with nonprofits and we have a lot of religious organizations. And I envisioned this, I have someone in particular that I envisioned. When I was in grade school, my principal, her name was Ida Hastings. And Ida also went to my church, and she always sat in the front row.
Oh, geez.
She was all of 4'10". She was tiny, but man, was she fierce. And we, as a fifth and sixth grader, we just were terrified of her, because if you said a bad word on the playground, you were in her office, and that is not what anyone wanted. But I pictured Ida Hastings, you know, shaking her fist at me when I said give a shit, and I was nervous about it. But my team talked me into it, and I'm so grateful they did, because it is visceral. It's something you can get your hands around. It's something you understand how to live it, how to embody it, and how to be that. And when we choose phrasing our values in generic or more traditional ways, they don't resonate as much with people. It's harder for people to not only rally around them, but to truly, truly understand what it means to embody those values. So it was an interesting process.
It sounds like a really, really interesting process. And we're going to go to break in a second, but I love what you said about the importance of the values being visceral, which I see in my role as a consultant is missed almost always. Yes. So I'd love to chat with you more about that when we come back from break. So listeners, this is Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about FireSpring's journey, not only about their values they use, but how do they live them every single day? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
If you have been struggling with fear and anxiety, you know how debilitating these emotions can be. You constantly doubt yourself, you can't make decisions, and feel more and more insecure and stuck. Dr. Friedman Schaub's book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, will provide you with the insights and tools to break through these challenges. Through a step-by-step process, Dr. Schaub explains how to resolve the subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety and build a strong foundation of inner peace and confidence. Visit www.thefearandanxietysolution.com and get your copy now.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedemann Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Choose the new earth on The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, my guest today is Jay Wilkinson, who is the CEO of Firespring, which is a marketing company that has really transformed itself into a force for good in the world. And Jay, we were just talking about, before the break, the values that your company has come up with, right, that you live every day. And for those of you just joining us, the three values are bring it every day, have each other's backs, and give a shit. And we were just talking about the importance of making these values visceral so that people just, it sounds like day in and day out, are really steeped in them. Is that the right word? They're steeped in these values?
They're like imbued into the DNA of everyone in our company, and it's really important.
Yeah. And what were some ways that you, I know you mentioned the value stories, right, which is a great idea. What else? What are other ways that you and your leadership team have helped, and employees, right, have helped you just really step into these values and live them?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is repetition, you know, and understanding the importance of continuing to focus on them daily, not just monthly, weekly, through the quarterly cycles, whatever, but daily focus. And the primary vehicle that we use for that is we have a daily meeting. We call it our fire starter meeting. Our daily stand-up meeting happens at 11:11 every day. Did some research 10 years. We've been doing this for over 10 years. We did some research and found that was the time of day that the majority of our people were in the building and available. Like our salespeople weren't out on appointments, et cetera. So we just picked that time, 11:11, and it's an 11-minute meeting. In the 10-plus years we've run it, it has never run longer than 11 minutes. It's not a meeting where, like, as the CEO, I get up and opine on about
right.
People here. It's not like that. In fact, I don't even run the meeting. I haven't run it for over 5 years. And in that meeting, the core of it is to, of course, we're doing things like updating people on here. This team is has these goals for the week, and we're on track, we're whatever. But the core of the meeting is calling people out for living our values. Mm-hmm. So someone will say, I want to put Tim on the board because yesterday he had my back when this happened and that happened. And so every day, another 20 names go on the board. And we're constantly recognizing each other for living those values. And that really, again, takes it to the street and makes it really clear that we are thinking about this daily. Mm-hmm. But we also integrate it into literally everything, into our hiring practice. And we ask questions that are framed completely around our values and making sure we're screening team members and hiring people only that live these or that embody these values already. And in the managing and the quarterly coaching sessions we do, our entire coaching session is framed around these values. Do you live the value or do you not live the value? We talk specifically about each of our values and how we're living those as part of that quarterly coaching session. It's part of the firing process. Having a team member's back in our company extends way beyond a point of separation. I can't even tell you how many letters I have in my filing cabinet of people who have worked for our company, many of whom have been fired for whatever reason, who send me a letter after a month or two thanking me for the opportunity and for the way that we handled the separation, because we helped them and give them lots of help in their career beyond FireSpring. So our values are present in everything that we do, every interaction. And it's easy to say that. It's quite different when you go into a company where that's really true.
I agree. I was just thinking that, and how too, that you, it's, you know, these, everything like the meeting you're mentioning, right? Hiring practices, coaching, even when there's a separation thing, you know, those examples, and I'm sure many more, that they, how much they all go back, we could all trace them all back to those core three values. And that sometimes when, you know, organizations read a book on this or, you know, hear about this, they think, oh, maybe we should have a meeting at 11:11. You know, there's this idea of like, oh, we'll just take what worked for another company. And what you actually did is say, these are our values. And based on that, what are the actions we need to take? Right. So it's very specific to FireSpring.
Yeah, it was driven. Now, I'm a big believer in R&D, which for me stands for rip off and duplicate. It's
the
process of learning from others. But
the
key thing that so many people don't do is if you can't just take what someone else is doing and try to implement it. You have to iterate on it and make it your own, put your own filter and spin on it to make it work specifically for you. And then evolve it, you know, be willing to change a week in, 2 weeks out, whatever, and continuing to evolve and iterate on ideas. And then they can be really powerful. But I'm a big believer in taking ideas from other people and figuring out ways to iterate and deploy those, but never just to take them, you know, the way you saw it happen and try to implement it, because it doesn't fit for everyone.
Yeah, it doesn't fit, right? It just wouldn't make sense, right? But I like your R&D definition there. Yeah. So I'm curious, when you look back, you know, 5 years ago, when you had that aha moment, 5 years ago till now, are there ways that you as a leader have had to, you know, shift your mindset, shift your actions, things you've had to do or think differently?
Yeah, there are a lot of things. One of the things that we weren't doing well at that point in time is we had grown pretty fast as a company, and we had a lot of people that have been promoted into management positions because they were really good at whatever skill they had. This happens in a lot of companies where people think the upward path is to become a manager. And you know, not everybody is naturally wired to manage other people. It's a totally different animal than being the best engineer or the best salesperson or the best whatever. It's a completely different set of skills and tools, but yet in most companies, that's how we do it, is we promote people because they're good at a task, and then we expect them to be good at managing. And that's how we had progressed. So one of the things that we went through was this deepening, this understanding that we needed to evolve internally about helping make sure we have the right butts in the right seats. And to that end, we had to have the right people that we're managing. And you know, we use a term internally, LMA. Lead, manage, and hold accountable. And I learned about that same point in time as we were starting to discover that to be a good manager, you have to be good at LMA. You have to know how to lead, manage, and hold accountable. And I had this realization as I was going through this journey myself that, you know, I was a decent leader, but I wasn't really very good at managing, and I was horrible at holding people accountable. And I likened myself to like the seagull style of manager, where you swoop in, poop on everything, and then swoop back out. You
know, that was.
And then I wondered why people weren't getting things done, because I would check in a month later and say, you know, well, and it was, I wasn't a good manager, and I wasn't good at holding people accountable. So the minute that I became vulnerable and really looked inside and realized that I needed to do something different, and I actually took myself out of a managerial role. So now there's only one person who reports to me. It's our chief operating officer, and put someone in place who was really good at LMA, and down the entire line of all the managers in our company are, we think, beyond any normal sense about how to vet people and make sure that they're good at the skills they need to have to be a good manager. I think that's something that's so overlooked in so many companies, that if you want to have a culture that everyone loves to be part of, that elevates the people on the team and that elevates the entire company outward to the world, you've got to have people inside that company that are good at LMA and that are holding people accountable to getting things done, and people that breed the culture of team and getting everybody working together. And so I think that was the biggest transformation, just from a foundational part for us. Is it was a kind of a two-part thing for me. Number one, to get vulnerable and to admit what I'm not good at doing, which is hard for the founder of a company to go to my employees and say, look, I've realized that I suck as a manager and I need help. So that moment of vulnerability on my part, combined with this really specific action on helping shore up the foundation of our company by making sure that all of the managers in our company were good at managing, not just good at whatever the task that got them to that point, that was transformational for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just want to highlight, I mean, it's a great story, and thanks for sharing it, and highlight the fact that, you did something, as you said, that it's not easy to do, was to be vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. And say, hey, this, I'm realizing this is just not my strong suit, right? Other things I'm much better at, and so I want to change how we're doing this in the company. And it one thing I often notice when I'm working in organizations, it's when the leader is able to say whatever their version of that is, like mm-hmm. you said, that some things really start to transform. It's a catalyst. Because other people know that, right? But other people probably knew that about you.
Yeah, certainly there were people who knew, and they're not going to tell the owner or the founder of the company, you suck as a manager, dude.
Right, exactly.
It's something you have to come to on your own.
Right. It sounds like that was a really big moment in your company and for you, right? In terms of the path you wanted to take.
And our employees would definitely concur that was transformational.
Right. That's great. A win-win for everybody. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. This is Claudette Rowley, and you're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio here today with my guest, Jay Wilkinson. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the journey that FireSpring has been on, and then some of the bumps that they have encountered along the way, as all companies do when they're trying to transform their culture. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class Facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Raging Skillet Radio, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi.
Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Steffen each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, here with my guest today, Jay Wilkinson, the founder and CEO of Firespring. And Jay, we were just talking about, some of the, as a leader and founder of Firespring, right, some of the changes and mindset changes or behavioral changes you needed to make as a leader. And then I know one of the other things we had chatted about was this idea that when organizations, no matter who they are, decide to help their culture evolve to a new level, there's going to be some bumps along the way, right? Some hard times or something, a period of time that might be a little stressful or uncomfortable. And I'd love to share, if you're open to sharing just a couple of what those were for Firespring. What did Firespring experience?
Yeah. And, there are so many. And I think fundamentally, to start as an answer to that question, I think for us, we have this belief and this underlying kind of foundational understanding that we always have to improve. We always have to get better. I remember when we were when we first learned that we were going to be featured in Inc. as one of the 50 best workplaces in America. I sat down with the same leadership team I talked about earlier and looked at them, and I kind of almost embarrassingly said, "Hey, we're going to be in Inc. magazine. This is kind of cool." And we're all looking at each other like, really? I mean, is that true? Are we really one of the best 50 companies to work for? That can't be true because we have so much work to do.
Mm.
There's so much to left. In our mind, we're at the very beginning stages. And I think so that fundamental understanding that there's always improvement, there's always room to grow, there's always room to change and evolve. The minute any company thinks that they're there, that they've got it figured out, is the minute they die on the vine. So starting with that premise, there have been so many times. The most recent for us, 2 years ago, we did an acquisition. And we've grown a lot over the years by acquisition. In fact, we've had more than 20 acquisitions in the last 10 years in our company.
Wow.
Where we roll in small companies. They're not big, giant acquisitions. They're small companies. Some of them have 20 employees, some of them have 30 or 50, whatever. And a couple of years ago, we merged in two different ad agencies all at the same time. And so they became part of the Firespring brand, the Firespring family. And we've always said that whenever we do these mergers, whenever we kind of bring people together, that there is no our way and your way. There's going to be, a new way because we have a lot to learn from the people that are coming in. And so we don't bring them in and line them up in chairs and say, all right, let me tell you how it's going to work. This is the Firespring way. You have to do it our way. We try to be really open and malleable and find a better way. Those words are stated all over our company in big banners and, things everywhere people go. Find a better way. We're constantly trying to iterate, improve, and evolve. And we thought we were doing that when we brought this creative agencies together. But inevitably, you're going to drop anchor on a way. It may not be the best way. But somebody, a leader, a manager on a team, needs to make a decision at some point on, okay, this is how we're going to do this. This is the process that we're going to drop anchor on. And over the period of several months, we started to find ourselves kind of slogging in mud, and it was really difficult and cumbersome. And the processes, instead of speeding us up, were slowing us down. because there was way too much thought being put into this whole thing of find a better way. And, you know, the key is to simplify, not create more complexity.
Right.
And we had lost track of that a little bit. And, you know, it was really difficult. We went through a tough time, and the culture, the engagement, the employee satisfaction, everything dropped substantially, and it impacted our business. We lost some clients as a result of the way that we were communicating not fast enough because our processes were too cumbersome. And it was really scary to see a massive drop in revenue for us that mm-hmm. we planned or expected. When we, you know, here we are, we're one of these 50 best companies to work for, whatever, you know, that means nothing. When you just lost, a $2 million account that put your company on its ear for a while. So it's very frustrating. And we had to just kind of reconcile and come back to center and hyper-focus on make the complex simple, simplify everything you touch, and kind of go back to those roots. And it has helped tremendously, but it was a tough 9 months for us as we kind of started to lose our way a little bit.
Yeah. And thanks for sharing that story, because what it underscores for me is, and you've already said this, is that sometimes organizations think if they go through, you know, a cultural transformation, right, and things are so much better that they're kind of done. And it's a great story to illustrate that you're not, right? There's always room for improvement, and something could, you know, unexpected occur, like what happened a couple of years ago, right? Probably nobody thought that was going to happen, right, with that acquisition.
Yeah. Wasn't even part of the thinking process.
Right, to even be concerned about, even perhaps. Yeah, right. And would you say that the company, it sounds like you all, the company as a whole learned a lot, though, from it.
Yes.
Coming out
we're
the other
really
side.
Really good at falling on our face and learning from it. That's
right. All right. Right. Like, simplify everything you touch. I like that. Yeah. And then in terms of, as you know, hard times, I know you had said before there was something like this, you know, changes you had to make as a leader. I mean, have there been examples of employees that, you know, maybe at the time or later said, you know what, what we did with the culture was great, but it was really hard at times. I don't know if that was a part of the process for everybody.
Yeah, certainly that happens. And we have a group in our company, we call them the Culture Club. Mm-hmm. There's an honorary boy, George, who runs the Culture Club. We have people who from each different part of our company, the different teams across the company that are elected by the other folks on that team to serve on this group. And so we do keep a really ear to the ground, a really close ear and eye on what's going on with engagement and culture. We measure culture quarterly as well. We do it essentially a net promoter score, you know, the same thing that most companies use to measure their ability to deliver on customer service. We do that with our team mm-hmm. by asking, would you recommend FireSpring to your closest friend as an incredible place to work? You know, so it's and so we know where our score is at all time, and we use that to really gauge how we're doing. And so and we also do this thing, we call it our start, stop, keep survey.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we learned years ago is that when you start to ask your team members too often, too frequently, and too many questions, they get so tired of answering surveys and questions. It's like, you know, it's way overdone. Mm-hmm. So what we settled on after years of experimenting with all kinds of different things is twice a year, we ask three simple questions. What should FireSpring start doing? What should FireSpring stop doing? And what should FireSpring keep doing? It's an open-ended question. They fill it in. And then we have someone on our HR team essentially categorize all of the answers into buckets. And we use that as our mantra as a leadership team to make decisions about how we're changing, how we're evolving, moving forward. It's not enough just to ask. You have to make sure that the people that provide that input know that you're taking action on what it is that they've shared with you. And so it's really intense sometimes how much detail and how passionate people are about giving us input about things that they think we should stop doing or things that we should start doing. When you phrase it that way, it's really interesting the feedback you get.
It is. And I've used something similar and for different reasons, but it is because I love the simplicity of it, right? Like you said, simplify everything you touch twice a year, start, stop, keep.
Yeah. And it's that too has been somewhat transformational for us to minimize the number of times we go back to the well and ask them for their input. But yet we get so much great results and response that that becomes our guideline for making decisions, our roadmap for the next 6 months every time we do that.
Yeah. And so you're getting this feedback from people really close to the ground, it sounds like. They're, you know, who have a different perspective than you might have just because they're doing a different job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm curious, because this often comes up in organizations that I'm interacting with. Is that survey anonymous or do people share their names?
It's a great question. We encourage people to sign their names to their comments, but it's their choice. But we want to leave them the option to make them anonymous because there are, you know, it's in the wiring of each individual. There are some people who are really uncomfortable sharing something that's hard for them to say, but they it's meaningful if they have to put their name on it. So we want to give them the option to submit that information either way.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just curious because in some organizations, you know, there's an assumption that no one would want to, so it's taken off the table, right? And then you don't want to pressure people. So it's a great, you know, happy medium. People have the two choices. We're about to go to break, but before we do, one thing I'd love to ask you is if, as listeners have been energized and excited about what they're hearing today, what is the best way for them to find out about you or FireSpring? How can they find you?
Well, they can, I'm very active on Twitter and also on LinkedIn. And of course, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all the different social media channels.
Okay.
But if you just do a search for FireSpring, F-I-R-E Spring, you'll find links to all of our social media pages and you can connect with us there. I'm a huge believer in LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is a powerful way to stay connected with professional people that we come across in our daily lives. And I think it's going to continue to grow and eventually completely, finally replace the old yellow pages and the Rolodex that used to sit on our desk. Because it's fabulous when you think about this thing exists in the cloud. And if Claudette, if you move or change your phone number, or if any one of our friends, you know, marries or remarries, their last name changes, they update it. We don't have to update anything. We stay connected to people. So I'm a big believer in LinkedIn too. And I would encourage anyone to feel free to reach out. Just do a search for my name, Jay Wilkinson, on LinkedIn, and let's connect there. I think it's a powerful way to stay connected with people of like mind and like interest.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. That's wonderful. So we are going to take a quick break. This is Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Jay's going to share with us some recommendations for leaders and organizations that want to create more intentional, why-based cultures. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant, Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
The Janice Underwood Show, helping you create the life you want, not the life you tolerate. Tune in each Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice delves into the life creator system and the next step in your spiritual evolution. Janice Underwood is gifted at helping spiritually minded people shift their mindsets to unleash the creator within. Our souls wish to wake us up. Those of us listening hear the call. Do you? For more information, visit JaniceUnderwood.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Back on Cultural Brilliance Radio, I'm Claudette Rowley, and my guest is Jay Wilkinson, the CEO of Firespring. And Jay, we've been having a really interesting conversation about your journey with Firespring, right? To revitalize its culture, right, and really make it this values-based, why-based culture. And so one thing I always like to have experts like you and leaders like you share on when we do interviews is recommendations. So people who are listening are thinking, wow, we'd love to create our version, right, of a why-based culture or a culture that really that's really focused on, you know, purpose, people, and profits. What are some recommendations you would suggest?
I think the most important thing is asking that question to start off with. You know, what are things we can do and being interested in being intentional about the development and the evolution of a culture. And far too often, you know, a culture of a business or a company just simply defaults to the strongest personality in the room.
Yeah.
And there's really little to no intention given to it. Mm-hmm. So the starting point is just being intentional about it. And as I look back and think through what we went through, and I've been thinking a lot about this because when we started making these lists and all that, I've been asked a lot about, you know, what do you do? How do you build that? And I realized that there were three different aspects and like in the framework that we did without thinking about it at the time. It's just kind of the process that we went through. And the first part was being really understanding that of how we were grounded. And this is not just the Midwest ethos of being humble or being grounded in that way, but I mean more literal ways like feet on the street, you know, and understanding with empathy everyone in the organization and the work that they do and how it impacts the broader organization. It's about giving everybody a safety net where they feel free to make mistakes and have the freedom to be who they are. And to express their diverse personalities. And so, you know, diversity to me goes way beyond gender or ethnic diversity. It's the diversity of the personalities of the people in a room that makes a company interesting and that gives everybody. And you achieve that by just being grounded, understanding that you're comfortable, you have a strong foundation. The second is around the word gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
I love that word. I'm a gratitude junkie. I think that there is so much in the notion of the glass is half full versus half empty. And there's an abundance of gratitude and recognition in healthy companies.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone feels appreciated. Everyone feels important. Everyone feels ownership in some way, whether they are or not a stockholder. They feel ownership in the company and feel proud to be part of something that's bigger than themselves. And that all emanates in my opinion from gratitude. And then the third thing is the commitment to growth. It's a commitment to lifelong learning. I talked about this a moment ago, being when I'm talking about the leverageable power of R&D, which is rip off and duplicate. other people have already invented or figured out a way to do something. Find it, seek out best practices, but don't just steal them and apply them. Iterate on them and evolve them, make them your own. And when you're grounded in gratitude and growth, then companies, and what we found in our journey is that we were able to elevate to where we became really good at finding a better way, constant iteration, evolvement, and always finding a better way. Again, going back to what I said a moment ago, the minute any company thinks that they've got it all figured out, that's the beginning of their demise. So, mm-hmm. I think those are the things that I think any company that's looking to take these steps and start to create instant change and impact in their organization needs to think about being deliberate about establishing a culture where they're grounded, where gratitude is at the core of everything, and that you're focused on growth, finding a better way. And if you just make a deliberate approach to those things, and then you deliberately work on building and discovering your values and implementing those, and there's, we help companies do that. A lot of different people out in the world are really good at helping companies go through that process. learn really great ways, and go through the process of company-wide inclusion in discovering your values, not just putting them up on a poster. We believe in respect, integrity, communication, and excellence. Those are boring values.
Right.
They also happen to be the values of Enron, who went
right
for lots of different reasons. Those words hung in their lobby as the government was coming in, shutting them down. So they're meaningless in so many, when you use generic words like that. So, be willing to, as we said earlier, apply treatments to your values or express them in a way that's visceral, that you can wrap your arms around and you know what it means to live and breathe and incorporate those into your daily tasks.
Thank you for that. I mean, there's so much about growth in what you're saying, the growth and gratitude piece, right? Like it's learning, continuing to evolve, never feeling that you're done, right? And I'm also hearing, you haven't ever said this specifically, but I'm hearing bringing out the absolute best in people and in the culture and I imagine how much that must impact your clients and your customers positively, right? There's this element of bringing out the best. Is that accurate?
Bringing out the best and celebrating differences even.
And celebrating differences.
Yeah, I think that's important too.
Definitely, definitely. Celebrating differences. And there's something about that kind of environment that just brings people to life.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it really, really makes life.
It feeds them. It inspires them, and people are better versions of themselves. And we get to work with people who are, the best work versions of themselves because of the environment that we create around them. And that's really special when you have an opportunity to be around people when they're heightened like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And what if out of everything we've talked about, and I'm sure, we could talk for 4 hours, right? There's so much you could say. But out of everything, if you had one or two sentence thought you'd like to leave with people, what would it be?
I would say to go back to something I just touched on a moment ago, but I would say it starts with the why, not the what. And we all learned that from Simon Sinek and other thought leaders. It's important to focus on the why, not the what, and intention. I think if you could just focus in on any word that is most important in the journey of evolving a culture and engagement in a workplace, it has to be the word intention. The fact that we must be intentional about building workplaces that generate the kind of environment that feeds us with energy instead of sucking the life out of us, which is what most work environments do. And you can only do that by being intentional about it.
Well said. Thank you for that. Start with the why, be intentional, and look at what feeds us with energy, right? Notice your employees. See what's happening with them. So, Jay, I want to thank you so much for today and for sharing your experiences and your wisdom with the listeners. Thank you so much.
An honor and a pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, my pleasure as well. And so I want to thank all of you for tuning into Cultural Brilliance Radio. As always, we had a fascinating time. Please join us the second and fourth Fridays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific. Have a great couple of weeks, and we'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at ClaudetteRowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.